3. Ephesians in chapter 3, we'll read in verse 21. The Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And last week, the title of the sermon was, "Is Christ Glorified at Central Baptist Church?" We talked about this. Is he glorified with us as a body? That is, corporately together. And you know, here's the thing. I hope so. I pray so. I believe so. But ultimately, the ultimate judge of that is God himself. Not me, not you, not anyone else. And there's some ways that we looked at how do we glorify God. Last week, we dealt with singing. Talked about singing hymns and psalms and melody in our hearts, according to Ephesians 5:19, and also Psalm 100 and verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, all ye saints," I believe it is. I always get the two confused, but anyway, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," we know that. Then, of course, we talked about preaching, and that is preaching Christ and him crucified, and preaching the word of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And then, of course, other scriptures as well that we're told to preach Christ. Then third, fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 42. Talk about the church there at Jerusalem, how they had people added to them, how they fellowshipped, how they had that oneness, that singleness of spirit, for they were in one accord. Then we talked about giving. And a lot of times, and I know a lot of people are like, "Oh boy, here we go. Preacher's talking about money." Well, listen, there's more to giving than money, okay? Sure, tithing and offerings is part of it. Matter of fact, we find in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, it talks about giving of your tithe and so on there. And even in the New Testament, there is some things that it deals with on that. I believe in 1 Corinthians in particular. But also, Matthew, just for a second, look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms," and alms is talking about giving, okay? That's just a general term for giving. "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." I talked about last week that there was a gentleman in Somerset, had a lot of money. Growing up, he used to go around to different churches, and he would have it cooked up with someone in the church, and basically he would stand up and say, "Preacher, I got something here before you get started," and be like $10,000, $15,000, and he'd make a show of it. But then one day, there's an old country preacher, when he did that, he said, "That's fine. You want to give it to us, that's fine, but you need to sit down and wait until I'm done preaching." Never forget it. And it was a good lesson for the guy as well. But then also, folks, it's more than just giving money. It's talking about giving time and effort. And look with me, please, in Romans chapter 12, and then we'll get into this week. I want to make sure, because we didn't spend a lot of time on this last week. Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. The Bible says in verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what we find here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is that he is speaking about presenting our bodies, giving of ourselves. It's easy to give money. Sometimes, if you got the money. Sometimes it's easy to give a little extra with that. But what about giving of ourselves? What about giving of our time? What about giving of our talents? What about giving of our efforts? Well, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing here, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Then he says this, by the mercies of God, based upon the mercy of God, that is God's grace, that which is not earned or deserved, but he has given it to you, that you present. In other words, give your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And folks, let's face it, in general, people don't give of themselves. They give what's left over, but they don't give of themselves and give of the best that they have to God. Are we doing that? Are we giving of ourselves or just little nuggets that's left over? Can't speak to that for you. I can be honest with you, with myself. I don't always do what I should do. But shouldn't we do that? And understand, it's not that we give of this to each other so much, but what we're doing, we do as unto the Lord and give it to God for that reason, to glorify Him and to lift up His name. But today, we're going to continue on this thought of glorifying Christ and is God glorified here at Central Baptist Church. There's two more things we're going to mention. Number one, families. Families should glorify God. And then secondly, in our evangelism and missions. Look with me, please, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, a lot of times we talk about submission and we talk about wives submitting to husbands. Well, understand something, folks. There is a sense in which husbands submit themselves to their wives. Their wives submit themselves to their husbands. Also understand this too, folks, that if you look at the context here as well, it's talking about also in a church context. There is a sense in which we submit one to another. In other words, we don't always get what we want, right? There's give and take, right? In a relationship, in a husband-wife relationship, and in a marriage, men, do you always get what you want? If you do, that's a problem. Okay? But let me also put the shoe on the other foot. Ladies, do you always get what you want? If you do, that's a problem. There is mutual submission there. There is a caring one for another. But here's the thing. That's verse 21. Then we notice in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So the Bible does make it clear that wives are to submit themselves unto their husbands. Now understand this, unto their own husbands. You have a responsibility to listen and to submit to your husband's godly leadership as it is placed in the Bible. And as he leads according to what the Word of God says. And you're doing it as unto the Lord. To glorify God and doing it as if God himself was telling you to do that. Why? Because God himself is saying that. Say, well, Brother Troy, does that mean that everything that my husband says I need to do? No. Let me explain something. And I'm being ridiculous in this statement, okay? But if your husband sits here and says, all right, I want you to go have an affair with someone else, is that right? No. The Bible makes it clear that it's not right. So in that case, are you supposed to submit to your husband? No. Because you're not doing it as unto the Lord. Now, look at the next verse. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the wife in the sense that he is the headship within the home. Okay? Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That makes it pretty plain and clear. I don't think there's a whole lot you can add to that, right? It's pretty simple. So, husband, you have a responsibility. I, Troy McGahan, have a responsibility to my wife and son to lead and direct them in the things of God. Now, notice this in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and we know that the Lord's New Testament churches are subject to who? Christ, the Lord, God, what he says in his word. Then notice this. So let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. That's it. We're done. Everything's good. Ladies, you know what to do. Let's go home, right? No. No. Let me tell you something, men. Whenever I first got married, I thought I was going to be John Wayne. Stephen and Jan remember how I was. I was here a lot with Clint. I was John Wayne, buddy, and I was going to be John Wayne, and this is the way it was going to be. I had that whip supposedly crack. Whoosh, do what I say. But you know something I didn't do very well at? I didn't follow the next verses. I did not. Let me tell you what, folks. It caused strife and it caused problems early on. Thank the Lord it got strained out. Not perfect, but a heck of a lot better than it was. I promise you that. But notice, husbands, love your wives. Oh yeah, I love my wife. But notice how it says we're to love our wives. Husbands, love your wives. Not everybody else's wife. Your wife. Your wives. As in singular, your wife that God has given you. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ouch. Ouch. That's a big responsibility. I have a massive responsibility to love Tara as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it sacrificially. Not convenience, but sacrifice. That's tough. I have a responsibility to love my wife in a sacrificial way, giving of myself even when I don't want to give. Even when I don't feel like giving. And that's tough. How much did Christ love his New Testament church? He loved his New Testament church enough that he died. Literally bled and died and gave himself for it. How much should I love my wife? I should be willing to give myself 120% and more if that's possible. Now, I confess to you today that I don't always do that. But you know what? That doesn't absolve me of the responsibility to do that. Amen? We have that responsibility. Now, notice this too. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now I believe he goes from a transition, not from the husband-wife relationship, to purely talking about the New Testament church. Because I cannot wash, sanctify, and cleanse my wife by the water of the word. That has to be God that does that, okay? But notice this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the reason the word of God is so important. You know why it's important that the Lord's New Testament churches preaches God's word? So that way the Lord's churches can be pure and hear the word of God and know what to do and how to do it. That they be separated and cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. Notice also that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I was talking about Christ and his church, okay? Now look at the transition again. Using that as an analogy or an illustration, look what he says in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Am I going to knowingly take poison if I'm in my right mind, let me put it that way, and consume it? No, I'm not. Am I going to knowingly take something that I know is going to harm my body if I love myself and love what God has created within me? Am I going to do it in such a way that's going to bring harm to me? No. So why would I do that by poisoning my wife with garbage? That's the reason why, as a husband, I would not introduce her into things such as pornography. That's the reason why I would not introduce her to things that I know is going to cause her mental, physical, or emotional harm. I'm going to do my best not to do those things. Not knowingly, anyway. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Men, are we loving our wives with sacrifice and with conviction? Now notice in verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. And this is one of those things that struggles at times, folks, okay? And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest, hardest things for a young married couple sometimes is being able to leave that mother-father relationship behind. And it's not that you truly leave it behind, but it's just not the same, okay? It's just not the same. One of the best things that happened to me and Tara whenever we first got married was I lived 4 hours from my family and we lived 10 hours from her. Now, there was times it was hard, especially when she was sick. And we needed someone. Thankfully, we had some church family that stepped in and helped us at those times when Tara was in the hospital a few times. And that was a blessing. But you know what? It's tough. We had to learn to lean on each other. We had to learn to understand what it meant to be together and that one flesh relationship. And it's more than just a physical relationship. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And folks, it says man, But I can't help but believe that's also the shoes on the other foot too. That relationship one to another, as they depend on one another, as they're dependent on Christ. Now, notice verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Notice this again. Love his wife. Love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence means respect. You want to know something, ladies? And I've heard this said for years. If a husband will love his wife, then the wife will respect him. I dare say, folks, that's not always true. Not always. I've seen it. Not always true. Yes, he should love you as Christ loved the church. But you know what? You have a responsibility to respect him and to reverence him. It's a two-way street. But you know what? There's another place too in the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Bear with me, folks, while I'm looking for Titus here. I believe it's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I've heard it said and I've heard it preached from pulpits that God has never commanded the lady to love her husband. That's wrong. Look with me, please, in Titus in chapter 2. Now, it talks about the men. It says that the aged men may be sober. This is in verse 2 in chapter 2. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And look at verse 4. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, that's clear-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. How do they teach that? They do that by setting the example. Ladies, you have a responsibility to do that for the younger ladies in your life. You may say, well, Brother Troy, I'm young myself. Do it for your kids. Do it for the other young ladies in the church. Do it for the grandkids, nieces, nephews, whoever. But this is the way these things are taught. Now go back to Ephesians in chapter 6. Actually, chapter 5, and we'll finish up that chapter. Actually, we did finish up that chapter. Look with me, please, in Ephesians 6. Starting in verse 1. Then it talks about children, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Those things that honor God, you listen to your parents. Again, if your parents are telling you, as I've heard Brother Ethan talk about to the youth and stuff on Wednesday night, if the parents are not godly and they're telling you to do something that is not godly, you don't have to obey them. You should still respect them and be kind, but you don't have to obey whenever they're telling you to do something that's wrong against God. But let me tell you this. The Bible says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If your parents are giving you godly instruction, then you better listen to them. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Not just father, but honor father and mother. And vice versa. Not just mother, father and mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. My grandma died when she was 95 years old. And you know what she did from the time she was a teenage girl? She took care of her grandma. Then my pawpaw come along. Okay? She married him, had several surgeries, took care of him. Then her mom and dad got sick and were aged. She took care of them. And then she took care of my pawpaw when he had a stroke. And on it went. All the time taking care of those around her. And in particular, her parents, and respected them and honored them. And she told me one day, she said, "You want to know why I believe God has allowed me to live such a long life and prosperous life?" I said, "Because I honored my mother and my father. I've never forgotten that." There needs to be that honoring of father and mother. But look at verse 4. Verse 4 is something I've struggled with from the time Zach was a baby boy. And Stephen's grinning because he's like, "Yeah, I can see this." Oh, he does it too. My bad. I thought he was saying like, "Yeah, I can see that, Brother Troy." No, I knew better. I knew what you were doing. But all joking aside, I have to watch it. I love Zach. And sometimes I will ride him, sometimes out of fun. And it'll almost make him mad and provoke him to anger. Other times it's not out of fun, and I'm riding him like a horse. Maybe I need to back off. Listen, there's a fine line that we as dads need to walk. We need to be careful that while we're trying to get them to do good, that it doesn't become just a legal thing. Or we're just trying to do it where A, makes us look good, and B, it shows who we are as the boss. I have to apologize to Zach all the time. Matter of fact, the other day I had to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I hate apologizing to anybody. I don't care if it's Zach. I don't care if it's Tara. I don't care if it's my parents. But God has worked in my heart where I will be more apologetic. And I have to do it because if I don't, I'm going to provoke him to anger. And I'm going to push him away. And that's one of the things we got to be careful of as parents. If I had it to do over again, from whenever Zach was a little fella to now, I would do a lot more of what I do now. I take a deep breath like this, about 5 times. I count to 10 in between each breath. And then I look at him and say, "All right, what's going on?" And you know what? It's a whole lot smoother when I do that. Instead of just lashing out and just coming in, "What is wrong with you, boy?" Let me ask you a question, Stephen. Let's be honest here, okay? If I come up to you and you're having an issue and I just say, "Stephen, how you doing? What's up?" Or what if I look and say, "What is wrong with you? Why are you so stupid?" And I don't say anyone should do that. But what if I did that? Which one of those two things is better? The first, right? Okay, folks, and listen, I didn't have to go to college for that. All right? But let me tell you what, more times than not using exactly the same lingo or language, but the tone, I've done a lot more the second than the first. And I promise you, listen, remember what the Bible says, do unto others you'd have them do unto you? I promise you, I'd rather people talk to me like I've got a brain than screaming at me, right? So there needs to be that grace. So yes, husbands, love your wives. Ladies, respect and love your husbands. Dads in particular, it goes to both, but dads in particular, don't provoke your children to anger. And children, obey your parents. That will bring honor and glory to God. Now, notice the last point. And this is evangelism. Evangelism. What do we do with evangelism? I've been in churches before for they think because they support so many missionaries that they're carrying out the Great Commission. That's just part of it. The Great Commission is more than just sending money somewhere. The Great Commission is about taking the gospel. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it talks about make disciples and baptize them. But you know something? Missions is great. And it's good to support missionaries in Mexico. It's good to support missionaries in other places and try to help them. But many churches do not follow what it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now, I want you to look there with me, please, in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Then I promise you, folks, we'll be closing up here soon. And by the way, I did get the air conditioner looked at the other day to put Freon in it. I don't know what's going on. But the Bible says in verse 8, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Look at that. It says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Listen, I used to take this, you start one place and then you go, no, you can be a witness in Jerusalem, which is home. You can be a witness in Judea, which is statewide or nationwide, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. We can do that. But you know what? We got to be witnesses here. It's just not on Wednesday night with what we do with the youth either. We got tracks out there. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have taken those tracks and given them to someone where you go out to eat? I haven't always done it. I've made a conscientious effort to do it the last 3 weeks. Real hard. Or if I go somewhere and just talking to people, I invite them to church, said, here you go. Invite you to Central Baptist Church. Listen, missions is fine. I'm going to be honest with you. I've done most of my ministry has been going and starting works. About half of my ministry. And God is blessed. But you know something? And I told every one of those supporting churches, I said, I want you to understand. You cannot fulfill the commission at your church by just sending money somewhere. You don't fulfill the commission by proxy. You fulfill the commission by taking the gospel out yourself in your home and your city with your family, your friends, those that you come into contact with, those that you grocery shop with, those that you work with. Folks, evangelism is important. Yes, what we're going to do with Vacation Bible School is wonderful and good, and we need to do that. But I want to ask you something. It's not just supposed to be something we do every once in a while. It's something that we do all the time. Yes, the radio broadcast is good. We got people that comment on it. Have a lot of people listening. That's fine. But there's got to be more. Are we giving of ourselves with the gospel? Are we telling others of Christ? Are we telling others that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost? I can't speak for you. But again, let me circle back to where we started. Is Central Baptist Church in Marion, Kentucky glorifying God? I pray so. I hope so. I think so. But at the end of the day, there will only be one judge on that, and that's God. Are we being faithful? Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to come.
Y'all would stand with me. Turn to song number 82.